Pour something flammable into your glass. It's Jaded Gamercast. My name is Lang. With me, as always, is Nathan. Nathan, I'm back. This is the second show in almost 3 years that I've missed.
Mm-hmm.
And it hurts. It cuts so deep to miss a show and then have to listen to it and edit it and to sit there and go like, fuck. Because I know generally the shows that you miss, you do not listen to.
No, you're right. I mean, for me, I will listen to them if it's really slow at work, and then I will do the color commentary on Facebook.
Yes, which you've done once.
Yes, absolutely. I think I've listened to two episodes I've not been a part of, but, you know, in one of them I did that, and the other time I was listening with the wife, and I'm giving her my color commentary.
Exactly. But yeah, it was a good episode last week. I enjoyed listening to it. I thought you guys had a good conversation about Forge World and such, which was very interesting because I really didn't expect the conversation to go that way. But hearing some of the stories, you know, be they exaggerated or be they pretty straightforward, it was very interesting to hear that, you know, there was more than a few guys who were just tooling it up, Forge World and Allies and stuff like that. But like I said, I enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I mean, out of that, we kind of had like a mini discussion about that on the Facebook group, and there was one comment that I thought was very, very interesting that I thought, hey, you know what, that's not a bad idea, and that was only let players pick one of Forge World or Allies or Fortifications, and I thought, you know what, that's neat because that really does kind of address the biggest issues that I saw and that some of the players had, you know, unfortunately had to experience at Out of the Basement, where they were literally just cheesing it out as hard as they can, you know. But that way, it's kind of a nice compromise where you're able to say, you know, we allow Forge World and we allow Allies and we allow Fortifications, but they are 0-1, like as a big whole group. So it's just like you may choose a Forge World unit to add to your army, you may choose to add Allies as per the rule book, or you may choose Fortifications. But if you pick one, that's it, you're done.
Right.
So that's why I think that's an interesting compromise. I'd like to see tournament organizers kind of move that way in the future myself. But, yeah, what can you do?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I am drinking rum and Coke, which I'm sure will eventually become Crown and Coke, because I'm basically just mixing all of my alcohols that I have left over since I've gotten back from Arizona. And it's delicious, but you know what's awesome? Alcohol is so cheap in the States.
Oh, it's so cheap. Oh, God.
What's hilarious is that 21-year-old bottle of Glenfiddich that Maddie got me for my birthday that last year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's gone up in price by like $100 in the last year.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. So it was like $300 in Arizona. Well, I was going to say,
isn't it like 22-year-old now?
Yes, essentially. Well, 21-year-old when it was bottled, right?
No, I know.
A while ago, but I was able to get
alcohol.
Pretty two awesome bottles of scotch that I brought back from Arizona with me, which was well, it was also a very turbulent flight, and my wife is scared of flying now, so there's that. But I was worried about like the scotch in my bag in this flight, everything bouncing around. I'm like, oh, I really, really hope that like a bottle of scotch doesn't break, because it's like scotch I would never be able to get in Edmonton. So I got two awesome bottles of scotch, and they were pretty fantastic. But yeah, what are you drinking?
I have been craving beer so much. So I actually have
beer all the time.
I don't drink beer all the time because of the whole wheat allergy thing that makes me feel really, really terrible. But and throwing caution to the fuck it. I just decided, fuck it, I want beer. So I'm drinking both Alley Cat Amber as well as Boddington's Pub Ale, alternating whichever one's coldest when I run to the fridge.
We were doing sake bombers in Arizona, my brother's place.
Mm.
And so 2 a.m. rolls around, I'm ripped. And I had the exact same reaction when they were like, let's go get Mexican food. And I was just like, well, I'm all out of lactates and I'm lactose intolerant. Fuck it. And I had like a taquito with cheese on it. Shit myself for like 2 days. It was awful. And in that heat.
Yeah.
You never like had to sweat while shitting. I think it's an experience that everybody should go through at one point or another in their life. Find an old tin shed. Put it in your yard for 3 days. Let it get real musty and moist and go out there and take a dump in a bucket. That's basically how that goes when you've got, you've got shits in Arizona. Classing it up out here. All right. So Let's move on to the weekly listener poll for this week, which was, will you go out of your way to play in a tournament that allows Forge World? I thought that this was a cool question. Not as interesting as last week's question. But, you know, I was not surprised at all with the response. The response was 2/3 said no, 1/3 said yes, which is really about the number of people that use Forge World in their armies, right? So, hey, surprise, surprise, right? Guys who have Forge World, it's sitting around, it's part of their list, they like using it. That's about 1/3 of the gamers out there. You know, they would go out of their way to make sure that they attended that just so they could use the stuff they paid for. So that makes total sense, right? Guys who don't have Forge World or don't like it or, like, you know, from this last episode have a problem with it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. They're just going to be like, you know, if the question was, will you attend a tournament if it allows Forge World, I think you'd have a much different mix there. Most people would still say yes just because it's a tournament they want to play. Yes. But I think the idea of saying, like, are you going to go out of your way to go, you know, are you going to try 3 hours to get this town to go to this tournament? I think that, you know, it's a very interesting result.
Well, yeah, because I mean, I think if Out of the Basement chooses next year to run things exactly the same, they're not going to see their attendance affected at all, you know. And I think that's really what it comes down to is I don't think that anyone had a negative enough experience to just be like, if it allows Forge World, I'm fucking out. Like, I will not attend it. Mm-hmm. And that's why I kind of phrased the question the way I did. That and I was really drunk on gin, so hey, you know, it just kind of rolled out there. So.
I expect you would also have to have rolled Terry back to the bed. But all right, so some
best
of the
part about hotel rooms, the living, you know, when you get a suite, the living room and the bedroom not far away.
It was far enough away when I had to carry your ass from the bathtub to the bed. Okay.
All right, but I'm a big guy.
Patrick posted a comment on the weekly listener poll saying, I can't even keep up with all the ridiculous combos that can be created with the existing codexes and the Allies Matrix. Now I'm supposed to pay money to go to an event where some basement dweller. And Patrick is so angry at like, gamers. It's basement dwellers, and then it's neckbeards. And Patrick, we're all just gamers, man. We're all just gamers, dude. It's all good. Just go hug a neckbeard next time you see him. Big deal.
In his flannel shirt, because the neckbeards don't wear anything but flannel.
Some such at the cost of $70. Sorry, my gaming time and gaming money are both too finite to waste on an event where units are allowed that aren't even playtested or points costed appropriately. Andy Goodbrush said, I have previously avoided tournaments that allowed Forge World and will continue to. I see nothing of late to make me change my mind. Chris W. said, if I could use my Red Scorpion character rules for the models I have from IA 9, Imperial Armor 9, maybe, but probably wouldn't rent a hotel room for it. I'm already having issues dealing with the legal.
That is an interesting spelling of legal. Go yeah, for it.
That's kind of why I was like, legal? A company has a branch in legal.
Did you play bass for legal?
It was a French band, and it was legal. We were a French Mormon ska punk band.
With folk roots.
Yes, it was with folk roots. I was going through a phase. I wasn't drinking caffeine. Anyways, Dave says I actively avoid tournaments with Forge World. So what's interesting is everybody who commented was pretty vehement about the idea that, like, no, I'm not going to go out of my way to play in a tournament that allows Forge World, which, like I said, not a huge surprise. You know, my feelings on this are, if a tournament organizer would like to have Forge World be a key component in putting together a tournament, like the It Came From the Basement guys. I love the idea that they're allowing Forge World. Ward, and when he ran out, Onslaught allowed Forge World and had a lot less problems with it when he was doing it. I think, you know, as the metagame for 6th edition has grown to the point now where, you know, like we say, you go look at the lists at Adepticon and it's, you know, Grey Knights, Necrons, you know, Demons, Necrons, Shooters, this, that, and the other thing. There are some pretty killer combos out there. So it does come down now to the tournament organizers to decide what type of event they want to run, right? Is it a Forge World event? Mm-hmm. Is it an Allies event? I personally love the Allies rules, but only for fun games. I still have seen nothing that makes me think that competitive gameplay needs Allies in any way, shape, or form.
No, I really don't think it does. And I really do look at the Allies Matrix, and I do see it as that component of fun gaming, because at the end of the day, you know, I don't know. Actually, the more I formulate the thought in my head, the more it kind of goes round and round, because on the one hand...
Yourself.
What?
I said don't hurt yourself.
Well, I'll try not to.
Buzzing!
On the one hand, you look at 5th edition, which didn't have allies, and list building basically turned into rock, paper, scissors, right? My list can beat this, it can't beat that. And then winning a tournament came down to the draw. If I was lucky enough to avoid rock when I took my scissors list, I was golden, and I could ride it out for my 5 or 6 games, usually take the win. At least allies change that up. You know, you can't. Mm-hmm. It's a lot easier to develop a well-rounded list, and so as a result, you look at it for tournaments, and voila, you're covering your own weaknesses. For me, I think my only issue with allies is I really wish that fucking matrix had been better thought out. I mean, for fuck's sakes, why are
Necrons? Well, okay, I think that's harsh.
BFFs.
I do think it's harsh, though. I think they did think it out. I just think that they left it so high level in the idea of, could this happen, yes or no? And that was really all they were looking at is it was, you know, it's like a murder trial, right? Reasonable doubt. That's all it came down to, where they're just like, is it possible? Fuck, I guess it's possible. Sure. In this small test tube environment, sure. Yeah. But that's why I think that it doesn't fit into competitive gaming. It absolutely doesn't fit into fluff gaming, but that's a whole other conversation.
Well, I mean, it can fit into fluff gaming if you're going to go with it super fluffy. You know, but anyway, yeah, not getting into specific examples. But no, I mean, I think it is interesting. Personally, I am still a strong advocate for Forge World's actual lists. I would love to see an Imperial Guard army that is not, you know, that I'd love to see Death Corps of Krieg. I'd love to see Elysian drop troops. I'd love to see Corsair Eldar. You know, so it's just like they've come up with these very interesting lists. Let's have fun. Let's take them out, you know, rather than just saying, no, that list on its own, that's filthy, but all of its individual components, that's fine. Feel free to take them. Like, it feels really fucked up. So, I mean, I'd like to see that, you know, not to rehash last week anymore, but I do think that Forge World can work. I just think that you, as a tournament organizer, need to think it through a little bit more, at least from the limited experience I've had there, because I wasn't at... I was at Onslaught, but I wasn't looking at 40K lists because I was too busy getting my Wood Elves beaten up every fucking game.
Like I said, it wasn't nearly as bad at Onslaught, and I don't think that there were allies for 40K at Onslaught. I think it was they allowed Forge World, but there wasn't allies.
Yeah, maybe. So I think
that's what kind of at least shifted the balance a little bit. All right, speaking of Forge World, let's talk about the models of the week. Forge World recently released 2 or 3 separate models, and they're all kind of cool, so we're going to talk about them. First one is the Dread Maw. I really like this model. I think Ward said it best. Speaking of Ward and Onslaught, I think Ward said it best when he says that you should paint it like the sandworm from Beetlejuice. So black, green, and white with like bright red lipstick, and just have that thing come blazing out of the sand. I really like this model. I think it's very cool. I think they did a great job with the idea of the scale of it, right? I think that if Games Workshop had made this model, they would have made it coiled up like a cobra, and it would take up 2 large monster bases to kind of give it the idea of like, oh, it's so big, look at the scale of it. But I think Forge World played it very smart by just saying like, ah, you know what, it's mostly underground. There's no reason for it to come completely above ground. The design of the mouth, and it reminds me of a Tremor.
Oh my god,
and
right?
I fucking love Tremors. So
the Graboids, if you will.
Oh god, yes. Let's do that. I want an army of these. But you know, it's also nondescript enough that you really could use it in a lot of different lists for a lot of different things. You know, like I would be, you know, find it very, very interesting to see something like this, you know, with like an orc ride in the back of it and just play it as like a wyvern or something, right? Like you do some really cool stuff with it instead of flying over things he tunnels on, you know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely. I think it's, I do think that it's a really well done model. Like you said, rather than trying to do more is more, like they really did kind of give it that feeling that the majority of it is underground. You know, you've got the awesome base popping up where you can see that he just burst through. You've got rocks kind of flying everywhere. It's a really nice touch. Again, the inside of the mouth is amazing. I don't envy anyone that has to like clean the inside of that mouth, because I'm sure you're gonna have like flash and run off of all of those teeth.
I think they did a pretty good job of making those little nubs, you know, the teeth, like just little bitty nubs, nipples, if you will, that definitely make it one of those things where you're not going to get a ton of flash on the end of it. It's not like the end of the teeth or the horns where you're knowing you're going to get a certain level of flash. I think they kept it small that way. And honestly, now I can't look at it without thinking that that's just a mouthful of nipples. But really...
So it's the Dreadmaw Slaanesh?
Yes! Put a Slaanesh character on that and go to town. Oh my god, what if it's lactating? You can feed a whole village with the notes.
Yeah.
So there's a Space Marine Land Speeder. let's talk about the Space Marine Land Speeders here. I think these are great. I think that they actually stopped and said to themselves, how do we make it look old? And then they thought about an old car, like a 50s or a 60s vehicle, and they said, that's what we got to do. Not necessarily symmetric, not necessarily angular, but some weird amalgamation of the two. Like, I love the downward sweeping front end. I think it looks really cool. I think both models look great. Paint jobs look nice. And I think that, you know, it's not amazing by any stretch, but both of these models, that's the case. It's just, no, it's good. It's a well-designed model. It's well-conceived. You'll be happy with it. Everyone will look at it. Probably nobody will hate it.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think that, you know, in the current climate of bloodozers, that actually feels like a real accomplishment.
Right. No, you know what? What I find very, very interesting is everything that Forge World has been doing with the Horus Heresy is taking either old Games Workshop models or old Games Workshop concept art from a time where said models and said artwork looked like shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're turning them into these really, really, you know, catchy, flashy, really great models. You've got things like this, you've got their Contemptor Dreads, you know, you've got all of these beautiful models that are coming out of Forge World where they've really captured the essence of those older influences and redesigned them in a modern way that is very, very appealing. And the reason why I'm mentioning this is, why does Games Workshop suck at that so fucking bad? Like, why is it they look at their old artwork and their old models and they're just like, so we'll just resculpt that in plastic?
Because
jobs are good.
Because they're still of the mind that bigger is better.
No,
and they can't get away from it.
Not even that. Like, let's talk Demonettes. Because I think Demonettes is the perfect example of it. Because seriously. Because
okay, yeah,
old Demonettes, like old second edition Demonettes, were basically what the current ones look like. They were slender girls with crazy hair and giant ass cartoonish crab claws. And they kind of looked ridiculous. Actually, they did look ridiculous. They were stupid. They were over the top. And no matter how good a paint job you put on them, they were still stupid and over the top. Third edition rolls around. Demonettes get redone. You get Juan Diaz with his beautiful, you know, slim, you know, nice, sleek, razor-sharp claw-looking thing. The aesthetic of it is perfect. He nails it. All of the fucking written descriptions of what Demonettes are and what Demons of Slaanesh are, he perfectly captures this. And he hits it again when he sculpts the Seekers of Slaanesh. And then Games Workshop hit that phase where they're just like, you know what? we want to go back to our roots, and we want to produce models that are, you know, reminiscent of our old stuff. So instead of trying to reinvent the wheel, we're just going to make the wheel better. And then they produce this shit-tastic plastic kit. And that's what I don't get, is you look at the Forge World stuff. You look at everything they've done for the Horus Heresy. They've even made Mark I armor look good. And Mark I armor, when Games Workshop did it, looked retardedly stupid. Like, it was the fucking worst. So it's just like, you know, how is it that Forge World is able to hit things out of the park and Games Workshop falls flat when they're doing the same thing? They're making models based on the same criteria. What did we used to have? Let's modernize it and let's release it. Well, and you can't tell me that it's plastic, because Games Workshop has produced phenomenally detailed plastics that are capable of emulating. Like,
we've seen the characters. We all know what they can do with plastic, right?
Absolutely. But I mean, like, even if you look at this Javelin attack speeder, the Forge World Mark I's, there is no reason why Games Workshop could not pump that out in plastic. You know, we know that they're capable of it. And yet they give us pieces of crap like these demonettes. And they give us fucking garbage like the Fiends of Slaanesh, because that's what they used to look like in second edition. So it's just like, that's what I don't understand.
Well, I think they're caught between the two norms in that company. And the first one is the one that you just said. I think when you first brought up demonettes, I was like, I don't know where you're going with this. But no, I do follow you. I think there's that nostalgia and this idea that what was done before is what's good. I think the other side of it is that fetish aspect. You know, I've seen some interesting modeling blogs recently where people are painting up Blood Angels, Honor Guard, you know, the Blood Guard, the sanguinary.
The stupid.
The really like.
It's the sanguinary guard. It's the Blood Man unit of 2+ armor save, jump packs with wings and blood drops.
Wings, blood drops, and then golden masks with suns on the, you know, the straight Greek style.
And nipples. Just, don't forget God, nipples
extra
on the armor.
Nipples and extra abs. And that paint job was great, but I sat there going like, God, those models are just fucking stupid. They're so bad. And I'm not even saying that they're modeled bad. It's just, it's such a bad concept. They can't get past that fetish side of the game. They can't get past the idea that in order to differentiate this Space Marine from this Space Marine, colors are no longer acceptable. We have to be able to differentiate them by whether or not they're wearing a helmet, whether or not they're crying and sparkling, or whether or not they are other chapter thing. I don't know why I just drew a blank right there, but... other chapter thing.
Wearing bathrobes and
exactly. There you
wings
go.
On their wings.
Just not getting out of their pajamas in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Dog, I heard you like wings.
So I put wings on your wings so you could fly with wings. So, yes, I think that that's really the big cause of it here. But, yeah, let's reel it back. Basically, I think, like I said, both of these models, very nice, very clean, very well designed, great concept. They absolutely stand out. I think Forge World will sell quite a few of them. I think especially the Great Maw, because I think for fantasy players, like I said, it's so nondescript. You really can fit it in just about any army. You know, it works very, very well. And the idea that it's tunneling as opposed to flying means that, you know, you could proxy it with a flying creature and still feel relatively good about that. Hell, I mean, if you wanted to put it in as instead of Flamespire Phoenix, you say, oh, no, it's a Mareworm. And then, like, that trail, the fire trail is actually just the rocks kicking up from underground as it, like, tunnels under you. How fucking sick would that be?
I think, in honor of Scott Martin, we should both do High Elf armies with a pair of Flamespire Phoenixes that are Dreadmaws. Sorry, Mareworms.
Exactly. Even though their Mareworm model is fucking brilliant, this is still pretty damn cool. And again, Tremors.
Do they have a Mareworm?
Yeah, they got a Mareworm. We talked about it. Somebody had posted on the Facebook group. It's nice. It's nice.
Yeah, it is nice. I do think that the Dreadmaw is better, but...
Yeah, it's nice. Well, it's fine. Not amazing, but it's nice. And again, it's all about preference there. All right, so... Okay, let's get on to the main topic of today's show, which is there's no topic for today's show. Why? Because Games Workshop fell off. We talked about it over and over and over again, and we asked the question a lot, saying, how long can Games Workshop keep this up? how long are they going to be able to continue to put out product, put out, you know, the codexes, army books, all this kind of stuff. When is that cycle going to break? And when are we going to be stuck, you know, in a situation like we're in right now where there's really not a whole lot topical to go on because Apocalypse was a bust and there's really nothing to talk about there and we're not going to play it. It's been, what, 2 weeks now?
No, it's only been 1 week since it released.
It released, right. But
I think that's more why we're not getting anything is July is a long month the way it's kind of worked out. You had the release on the 13th, nothing here. I think the 26th is going to be there. Who knows what's happening on August 3rd, everybody? It's definitely not Lizard Men.
But we should be seeing leaked models at this point. We should be seeing, pictures from the White Dwarves and stuff like that. Like, is this not the time where typically there's something going?
Usually, but I mean, you have to keep in mind that the...
You know what? You're right. You're absolutely right. Vacation has totally screwed up my clock.
Yeah, because I was going to say, it's still only like the 19th today.
This is we would have reviewed the Armageddon Codex last week had we done it.
Yes, and then we'd have the one day, but we said Apocalypse is retarded. We're not going to do it.
So I guess it's not that bad. Still, they fell off with Apocalypse, so I guess I'm not technically wrong, even though I feel like an ass right now. Hey, let's read some fucking listener mail. All right, so we got an email a long time ago from a couple of people. We haven't gone to the mailbag in quite a while, so please bear with us. We do want to try to get some mail out here and a couple shout outs for some people. We got an email from Matthew Reeson. He is making YouTube battle reports on YouTube, oddly enough. It's
really? That's a surprising place to put YouTube battle reports.
M Reeson, so it's MREESON12. It's about 8 to 13 minutes, turn-by-turn recaps. I've gone through and I've watched a few. Nathan, have you had a chance to watch a few?
No, I haven't.
Right. You don't watch things, so that's, yeah.
Nice.
I absorb all this shit. No, I've watched quite a few. I do like the battle reports. I think that it's pretty interesting. The couple that I watched used new army books and kind of had stuff going, which was interesting to see just for the fact of kind of how did things play out. But hey, if you want, go ahead and give him a look on YouTube there. Kind of similar to what Brian Sin does with his Malorian videos. It's kind of nice if you're unsure or on the fence about certain models. Typically, they will get a game in and kind of give you a breakdown there. It is relatively short, so it's just kind of like a quick shot of wargaming if you're itching for it. All right, so he also had a question. This was a while ago. he says he's a vampire count player with a slightly different style. He doesn't use vampires at all. Last out of the basement 2013, which I'm assuming was earlier in the year.
January one.
Yeah, it came best overall, which is great. And he wanted to hear your opinion on on the videos, on the vampires and stuff like that. I actually like the idea of playing a vampire count army without vampires. I think vampires at the price that they're at are a very, very tricky thing to do right. It's much easier to play with necromancers and whites or banshees, you know, it or even wraiths, right? Like, they're so good for the cost. The one or two special abilities that they give you are really, really nice. So I think that you could absolutely play a vampire counts list without vampires. I actually find that most people tend to do that. And in the last games that I played at Onslaught with my vampires, that's what I did, and I had pretty good success with them. And the games that I've played that way since then, I've had good, like, I've been very successful. So I think it's something you can do, and it's something that you can do and feel pretty good about. So I think that that's kind of more the norm than anything else.
Well, yeah, I mean, vampire counts aren't Tomb Kings, right? Tomb Kings are the character spam army.
Talking in the background. Tell them to stop.
What?
I hear clicking. I hear blink, blink. Like someone's talking to you.
No, no one is talking to me.
I just got really jealous, okay? Just fucking deal with it.
Okay, all right. Let's look, baby. I swear, I don't even know who this is. I mean, you know, who are you, baby? No, but as I was saying, though, Tomb, you know, vampire counts aren't Tomb Kings, right? Tomb Kings are the character spam army where you just want to take a cheap prince, throw him to a unit because you get weapon skill 5 thanks to my will be done. And that's where you're going to kind of spam your Tomb Princes and Tomb... Hey, look at me being a fucking amateur. Here you are, you're just like, is people talking to you?
Validation!
No!
Yeah, absolutely, it's not Tomb Kings.
You know, like I said, they're not Tomb Kings, and I think you're right. I think that with the cost of vampires, I think... You can get away with, you know, taking a hero vampire, if only for bloodline powers to stack with the Screaming Banner, being perfectly honest.
Yeah.
It's cheap enough. You're looking at, under 200 points if you're just going to give them the whole fucking Fear Incarnate kind of thing to really maximize out the Screaming Banner in a big unit of skeletons. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I honestly do believe that vampire counts are better served... buying shit. I mean, you're an undead army. You have unstable. Like, why would you dump 500 points into a vampire lord who admittedly is amazing for those 500 points? Like, don't get me wrong. It's not like a greater demon where it's just like, yeah, you know what? Some games he wins me the game. Some games he dies to the first cannonball. Like, if 500 points in a vampire lord will always earn 500 points back. So, I'm not going to call you an idiot with it, but I do think that vampire count players are much better served buying more shit and stacking up on magic, because whereas Tomb Kings are relying on character combinations to give hatred, to give higher weapon skill, to do all of these interesting things, what makes the vampire count's army live and breathe is the magic phase. Oh, great. I cast Invocation on the bubble, so now everything's ASF thanks to my corpse card. I've got Van Hell's Dance, so I'm rerolling mine to hits. I've got whatever... Hand of Death, I think, for rerolling wounds. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just like, that is where you are going to win games. Because if you can get all three of those spells off, and even Invocation is only if you need to resurrect guys, but realistically, if you can get those two on the bubble, even skeletons are going to win almost every fight that they fight. Mm-hmm. You know, with or without a vampire. Being able to throw in other cheap, great characters like Wraiths and Banshees is only going to make that better, but I do not think that you need vampires at all. Mm-hmm.
All right, we got another email here from Evan Gardner. Again, this is way back, so my apologies. We try to get to him when we get to him. Hi, Lang and Nathan. After reading your excellent post on how to create a Space Marines chapter, I wanted to get your opinion on a couple things. My Marine chapter has been the Legio Ferris for a long time, but now I realize... Now I realize that is a better name for my Titan Legion epic scale. Any ideas for something else? I still like the word Ferris, so that has to stay. Ferris Marines, Ferris Ignatum, ? You know, one of the things that I talked about when I wrote that post was there's no such thing as Legions anymore, right? And I did have somebody come to me and say, like, well, what about Titan Legions? And it's like, okay, well, I wasn't writing a fucking post on Titan Legions, so go fuck yourself. I get really, really indignant about it. But, when it comes to Space Marines, I think that you can find a word that you like, right? And again, I'm assuming he's going with Ferris for iron, essentially. Would that be the Latin? Hold on. We're both Googling, so don't
be surprised. We are literally both Googling. I thought it was Greek, but I actually do think that you're right. It is probably Latin.
But it's spelled interestingly. Apparently, there's a Ferris on the Zelda wiki, which I find interesting as well.
All right. I'm going to just do this right now. You can feel free.
Ferrum is Latin for iron.
Okay.
So I don't know if Ferris...
Chapter Ferrum Verpa.
You know, I think, yeah, if you're going to go with Latin, stick to Latin. Don't mix a whole lot. Or really just go simple, because simple is always going to be good, right? Like we look at something like Iron Warriors. That's as simple as it gets, literally as simple as it gets, right? Ultramarines, as simple as it gets. Those types of iconic, simple names work best. I think as soon as you start trying to church it up, you're going to find yourself in a situation where people don't really get it, or they're not really feeling it the same way that you are. If you are happy with the name, stick with the name. But otherwise, like, I would go Iron. I would say, you know, Iron Marines or, you know,
No. But see, here's the beauty of Ferrum is you can start to swear and be crude with it, because Ferrum Mentula is pretty cool sounding. It literally translates to iron penis.
I knew what Tula was, yeah.
So I mean, like, you can have a lot of fun once you start sticking to Latin, because
yeah, but that's also like a dick move where you're like the guy at the table,
literally,
like, yeah,
literally a dick.
These are my Ferrum Tula Marines.
No, but I mean, like, the other thing that you have to keep in mind is Gothic is based on Latin. High Gothic is Latin, period. That is what it is. So if you are looking for something that sounds like it's, you know, based in High Gothic, keep Ferris or Ferrum or whatever variation, you know, whatever conjugation of that word that you want, because it does sound very High Gothic-y. And then go find a Latin, like, if you want it to mean something, go find something, you know, go find something. I mean, for fuck's sakes, the Primarch of the Iron Hands was Ferris Manus, literally Iron Hand. Like, it's just like, you can be as half-assed as Games Workshop, and it still sounds incredibly cool. So if you're looking for, you know, you really like the word Ferris, and you want to come up with something that is, you know, along those veins, start looking, you know, think of a word and then go to like Google Translate and like put it into Latin and just be like, does that sound cool? No? Okay. What about something else? Iron Rooster? That sounds really cool. And then you can have like the robot chicken fucking logo on your shoulder pads. And there you go.
Los Ironis el Diablos. Yeah. You know, like I said, I tend to prefer
like
simple.
Chicken or something? El Diablo.
Yeah, it's like a chicken. Thank you. I tend to go for simple. You know, I don't disagree with Nathan, but that's not definitely not the way that I would go. I think if you're going to go that way, go for it. But, you know, it definitely is one of those things that I think the simpler you are, the easier it is for people to just go like, OK, cool. And that's the reaction you want. The reaction you don't want is what
yeah.
does it mean? That's not the reaction you want, because at that point you're already putting people off, right? I think if you stick to simple, you'll be much happier with that, and the people you play against will not give you that look of like, well,
look at this motherfucker here.
Right. Another question had to do with True Scale Marines and Inquisitor, but since we might be getting some new Inquisitor stuff in the future.
Yeah, but I mean, the rumors for that don't have it as Inquisitor, that, you know, that game Inquisitor. It sounded to me like it wasn't going to be Inquisitor Redux, because that was Games Workshop trying to get in on the D&D craze. But it would be like actual 40K scale, you know, but focused around Inquisitors, which I am giddy for. Unlike that Dreadfleet fiasco. Yep. I am looking forward to picking up a box of Inquisitors.
I will give nothing but cautious optimism to the idea of that. He says, thanks for the podcast. Listening makes me feel like I'm actually involved in the community. You guys are far saner and interesting than the fruit bats down here in Middle Earth. Hey, thanks very much. Ego pump for the win. All right. So we got another email here from John Thompson. He says, good day.
Oh, is he Australian?
I have to assume so. So I will attempt to now read this with a bad Australian accent.
Go.
How do you feel about using... Okay, I've already gone into English. It went Cockney after like three words. That's what happened in my drink. Oi, fucka. And then we'll just leave it at that. All right. So he says, how do you feel about using the Allies rules to make pseudo-codexes such as Eldar Pirates? I want blood claws that aren't shit in my Ragnar-themed drop pod army, and so was looking at other codexes for a substitute. This is in bullet point form, so good on you, John. I really don't have a problem with it, because again, fun games are fun games, and I don't think you're going to have a hard time finding players who are willing to make that work for you. This goes right back to what we were talking about Forge World and what we were talking about with, you know, the old fluff to kind of make those pseudo codexes. Absolutely, go for it. I think you're probably going to be able to find a place to game with that somewhere. If that's your first army and your only army, I'd say you should really avoid that until you have your shit together. And then go for it. But that's my viewpoint on that.
Yeah, I mean, it all depends on where you're going to play, right? Because where you're going to run into issues is going to be at tournaments. Especially, I don't want to use tournament as like a bad word or anything, but if you go to like a hyper competitive kind of tournament where everyone's there to kind of win, like, you know, I'm talking like AdeptCon Championship, Bay Area Open, War Games Con, like really events like this that are really just kind of focused on generalship and really kind of pumping that up. You may run into problems if you're starting to do things like, say, playing Space Wolves out of the Blood Angels book because you want better Blood Claws, so you're just using Assault Marines without jump packs, right?
Right.
That's where you're just going to be like, even though they look like Space Wolves and I'm using all Space Wolf models and all these Space Wolf characters, well, this is actually Mephiston and these guys are Jump Marines. That is where you're going to get people going to kind of start to not like it. And they might start complaining to tournament organizers to try to have you thrown out, especially if you're good with the list. Like, good God, if you kick people's ass with it, they're going to look for any excuse on why your list should, you know, you should get a zero, get thrown out, and they should get the win. Mm-hmm. Like Lang said, if you're, you know, fun games are fun games. Do whatever the fuck you want. I mean, you know, when I'm having a fun game, you know, at a friend's house or whatever, I'll pretty much just be like, so all these bloodletters, they're demonettes because, fuck, I don't have enough demonette models. You know, and you know, you do things like that because, hey, it's a fun game. So you feel free to use whatever rule set you want. Just make sure you're consistent. Don't mix and match. That's the asshole move.
Speaking of consistency, his next bullet point.
Ooh, and I like that.
We got some stuff happening. He says, if you take allies, should you paint them as their codex entry, or is it okay to apply the same paint scheme to the whole army, regardless of what codex the unit comes from?
I'm going to take this because I was literally going to make
I was aiming this right at you.
Yeah, good.
That's why I jumped in with the speaking of...
Yeah, because, you know, I was actually going to just be like, no, fuck it, let me finish.
I knew exactly where you were going.
So as I was going before Lang so rudely interrupted
me. I'm so
God.
Sorry. I got a mouthful of nipples on the brain.
That could feed a whole village. I mean, you know, really.
It could end world hunger, Nathan. I can't just let that go.
Should the Dreadmaw get like a Nobel Peace Prize then for its work on ending global hunger? What I was going to say was also consider allies. So if, for example, you like the Space Wolves book, but you really don't like how Blood Claws work and you want to use Khorne Berserkers. Shit, I don't even know if Marines, you know, Chaos Marines and Space Wolves could ally, but sure, I'm just going to say it because I don't want to go look up a thing for an analogy. But you feel free to kind of do that. And I think if you're going to go that approach where you're just saying, hey, you know what? I want this themed army. I didn't really feel the Codex does it. Feel free to paint them the same color if that is the point. Because the other advantage of doing that is should you encounter a tournament that does not allow allies, you can play them as your shitty Blood Claws.
Right.
And that way you're not just being like, these Khorne Berserkers who are red are actually part of my Space Wolves army. Like, I don't think people are going to give you shit if you're painting allies in the same color, so long as
you might give you shit about that hoity-toity tone of voice, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, look, if you're going to use that tone of voice, you need the monocle, otherwise it just falls apart, okay?
That's right.
Yeah. It's about standards. If you don't have a monocle, don't bust that shit out, because people are going to call you on it. Okay, that is a fact. You know, you don't want to be put in that position because
I play base for monocle standards. Yes, I agree. However, his question here saying should you paint them? No, I don't think you should. I don't think that it's the go-to thing. I think that allies as a general practice are typically for people who have multiple different types of armies and want to do a bit of mixing and matching, or for people who are playing games like a two-on-two game, you know, and they're trying to have legal armies that are going to work well together, and they've basically given them this framework. So, you know, I wouldn't take something like Khorne Berserkers and go ahead and paint them, you know, Ultramarines blue because really it's you're throwing away that unit should you also want to use them in another army somewhere down the road. You want to maybe ally them with another army somewhere down the road. If you are dead set on painting them the same color scheme, like if they're allies that say go really well together, right? Like say you do have guard and you want to take some, let's say, here's a better one. Let's say you've got Tau and you want to take some guard, right? And you're mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, they're Guvesa. Hey, absolutely. Matches up with the fluff. You're not planning on taking these guys in another army. You're not planning on mixing and matching. And if you do, it doesn't really matter because they're still painted a scheme that works, right? Because guard can really be any color under the sun. Whereas your Khorne Berserkers, yeah, if they're showing up all terrains blue, it's kind of like you're doing something wrong, right? So my first inclination is the opposite of Nathan's. I kind of go like, no, you know what? Paint them something neutral that's going to work all over the place unless you are dead set on I'm only ever going to use this unit in this army. That's what it's there for. That's my view on that. Final question. In your opinion, is this cherry-picking power gaming douchebaggery? Listen to the last episode and your question has been answered. Douchebaggery is a harsh term for a lot of different things that we deal with on a regular basis when we're talking about tournaments, right? Power gaming, being a douche. I mean, I tend to associate being a douche with just like literally being a douche while you're playing the game, not necessarily the list that you're taking or whether or not you're power gaming. But for the most part, I'd say no. Again, and for Nathan's answer, just go to last week's episode. So he had a couple other comments here. They weren't really questions. It was just things to talk about here. He said, when 6th edition came out, I was really excited. I don't know why I read it as excited. When 6th edition came out, I was really pissed because my drop box space.
That is one hell of a Freudian slip.
I know, right? My drop pod Space Wolf army had to change drastically. Things like my converted Ragnar, already overpriced, and my 6 land speeders had to go. Yet the game didn't feel that different from 5th edition. My two biggest issues with 40K, a release cycle that made watching glaciers look like an action sport and codex creep, seem to have largely been solved. If you remember my last email, I never did sell my shit. Oh yeah, I remember that email. He was asking about whether he should sell it if shit was crap. Mm-hmm. Remember that?
Oh, I do, yeah.
Okay, you remember it. Good.
Yes, I do.
Whiskey. He said, I never did sell my shit. In the end, I had too much sentimental attachment and, let's face it, financial commitment, especially to the Catachans. I'm holding on to those bitches. They're collector's items now. Yeah, they are.
I was going to say, in a couple more years, aren't they technically antiques? I mean, what's the threshold? Like, are you going to go, oh my, well, here on Antiques Roadshow, we have...
I was going to say that!
...an army.
Fuck you for beating me to that.
That's what you get for drinking.
I was drinking and I was like, oh, this is going to be great. You're such a dick. All right, so he says, thanks, lads. Keep up the good work. P.S. F.O.W. for the win, motherfuckers. I assume he means Flames of War?
Probably. You know, I've never played it.
I've played it. It's good. It's fun. It's pretty straightforward. It's simple, but that's what makes it fun. You know, it's everything that we like about that.
So it's like a good ex-girlfriend. It's simple, easy, fun.
I don't know if there's really much good ex-girlfriends out there. Okay, so yeah, I mean, I think 6th edition in general, I really like it. I still don't have any raging problems with it. And it's nothing like 5th in the sense that, you know, we're not seeing this massive metagame of Leaf Blower, right? Like, there's nothing like that out now. And it's been a while, right? I mean, it's been over a year. We're already in a situation now where, you know, we are not seeing the psychotic lists. We've had a lot of different codexes come out. They've all been pretty good. There's really no clear winner that anyone can 100% decide on. I think that that's all great. It's all a good thing, and it's absolutely what we need.
You know, but I mean,
if they haven't redone the army.
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously they haven't redone everyone. In fact, we've only have four true 6th edition codexes. Yes. I mean, even though it's that same bullshit that right when 5th dropped where they're like, no, it's fine. Eldar and Orcs were written with 5th edition in mind, which is bullshit. They absolutely were not.
They were not.
You know, and I think that that's the same bullshit.
They were written on drafts of 5th edition.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and that's kind of the thing with Necrons, because I will guarantee that the Necron flyers would not exist like they do now if that was a 6th edition book instead of a 5th edition book, because the Night Scythe and, you know, the whole like Necron flyer wing capability and just the way it works, right, it would never exist as such. But, you know, as I was going to say, I think allies are the reason why we don't see that whole sort of like, this list blower can beat 9 lists out of 10.
List blower.
drink more.
Oh, I need a list blower. Where can I download that shit? Oh, man. Yeah, I see what you're saying. I agree with you there. It's not the point and click that it was in 5th. So, but, you know, you have to be used to change, really. I think that, you know, if you were playing the all drop pod list and now it's just not as good as it was before, guess what? And people who've been playing this game for 10 and 20 years have all gone through that. Everybody goes through it. Every list changes. Eventually it will not be as good as it was. Or hell, it could be fucking way better than it was. Pick one. But really, you just have to get used to the idea that the game changes. That's what keeps it fresh. That's what keeps us playing it. And if it means that you don't want to play a Space Wolf drop pod list anymore, there you go. Or you just play it for fun, right? Remember when we used to do that shit? All right.
No. No, I don't.
Oh, I had the
fun used to do what now?
Long ago. Now it's all competition.
That's right. we used to do what? Huh?
Let's go ahead and ask our weekly listener poll question for this week, since we didn't do it back when we did the weekly listener poll at the beginning of the show. So the question for this week is, do you think that the Allies Matrix is meant only for friendly games, or do you think that it has a place in tournament play? You can cast your vote at jadedgamercast.com. Again, we'll thank everybody who cast their votes and read comments and have a discussion about it next week. So did you see Pacific Rim? Hey, something shiny.
No, not yet. We were hoping to go today, but then today kind of filled up with chores and shit. So, no Pacific Rim yet.
I saw it in Arizona. It is a fun kids movie. And I think that that is the best way to describe it. I think it's right there with Transformers in the sense that they give you a fun movie that's a little bit goofy, that is not deep by any sense of the imagination. Like, it's just, it is really, really simple. One of the reasons why I heard that it was so simple was because it dealt with kaiju and giant monsters and was going to be sold heavily in Japan, that they had to script the movie in such a way that it would easily translate to Japanese without a lot of confusion or, like, you know, stuff getting lost in translation. Mm-hmm. Although if Bill Murray was in a Jaeger, that would be fucking amazing.
Hold on, I do have one question for you.
Yes.
Are the pilots called Jägermeisters?
They are not.
I'm out.
They are called pilots. Again,
I'm out.
Fun kids movie. There's no alcohol references in Cars. Go fuck yourself.
There should be.
There really should be. Like,
okay. Because if you're in a parent that has to watch Cars, alcohol's all that gets you through it.
I take that back, because they did get alcohol at what was essentially the diner bar and drinks, and then Fillmore did actually brew his own. So, yes, there was. I apologize before I get flamed on Facebook. Yes, I overthink these things. So, but yeah, you know, it was a really...
Well, you're the one with the whole conspiracy in WALL-E.
Oh, the WALL-E, about the idea of, like, how the human race survived because they eat each other? Oh, I wrote, like, 8 pages on that.
Double gulp shakes are people, I think. Oh, but
all flavored slurm, and that's why there's only ever 8 kids in the nursery, but the ship is full of people, and there's no old people, and there's no sick people. Because they get reprocessed. And why would anybody notice? Because, hey, you never leave your chair.
And the robots run everything anyway.
That's right. The action scenes in the movie were done spectacularly. They were so clean. The CG was done so well. And again, it's so over the top and goofy that it follows my two rules for movies well, in the sense that it never tries to be smart. And so you never have to think. It just is stupid and fun the whole way through. And that's all it was stupid and fun. It was really, really entertaining. So hopefully if you go into it with that in mind, you will enjoy it. If you go into it hoping for Star Trek Into Darkness or Man of Steel, you will be sorely disappointed, because it is not those movies. It is Transformers. It's just a better version of Transformers. But yeah, it was fun. I enjoyed it. I think the thing that I enjoyed most about it, you'll get mad at me because you'll say that that's a spoiler, because you're weird about that shit.
Well, when you say things like, no, this isn't a spoiler, but the thing I liked most about it is that time that the pilot died, and it was, like, so crazy, because, like, you were rooting for him because he was, like, the main character, and you're just like, bitch, I can't believe he died. What do you mean that's a spoiler? I don't see how that's a spoiler. You're so weird.
When did I say
Listen,
that?
Listen, you are not McKellar.
When did I say that? Okay, fair enough. I'll accept that. But really, it's not even a spoiler. It's just like kind of a happy choice, like a decision that they made, that by the end of the movie, you realize that there is no love story. And you're just like, oh, awesome. It's just they didn't feel like they needed to shoehorn it down your throat. That's all.
And that's funny, because honestly, when they talked about where, you know, like the part in the trailer where they're like, two pilots merge minds, I expected some bullshit Pearl Harbor love triangle between like the two pilots and the one pilot's wife.
It so well, and they actually played the pilot thing off really well. Like it seems so stupid when you kind of look at the trailers, and like I was saying, like, well, who wouldn't want a dual core? But really it's like they play it off really well, and they it is actually kind of like a dual core, but they say here's what has to happen with the pilots, is they have to be able to sync up in order to mesh. And then like that whole meshing process has some very interesting side effects to it. And they play it really, really well in the movie. And
it's clearly not alcoholism if they're not called Jägermeisters.
Well, and what's great about it is it's all very platonic, and that's why it's so good, and that's why you can really appreciate it, which I thought was awesome, even though they really did have like every opportunity for Charlie Hunnam to take his shirt off, which is pretty rad, because I have a crush on him. And so it was like a great movie for me. But hey, it's got...
Well, you mean like how some of the best parts of Man of Steel was whenever Henry Cavill didn't have a shirt on? I mean, like, I'm not gay, but I'm just like, dude, that guy is ripped.
Freesh, he's a fucking Adonis. I mean, like, just the man is clacks is what I'm trying to say right now. But Charlie Hunnam's the same way, and you know, the guy from Torchworld, Owen.
Oh, from Torchwood?
Torchworld? Hey,
look, I have a list blower. You have a Torchworld, I guess.
I'll actually take the Torchworld. But,
blowers and Torchworlds. From Torchworld. The name of this episode.
Owen from Torchworld is in it. He's goofy. He's funny. And, you know, they absolutely make it like a great movie to take your kids to. I did not have the issue with the sound that you guys did.
But like I said, I've just, you know, I've heard from a few, like three of my friends, and then another one in the actual Jada Gamercast group, that are just like, the sound in the IMAX hurts. Like, it's like physically painful. And I was just like, really? That's...
Well, I know that I'm not going to take my son to it, because it's just a bit too loud for him at his age. But I'll probably buy it when it comes out or shortly after it comes out, and then show it to him then, because it really is a fun movie that he would love. So yeah, I think that that's pretty much where that lands, but, that's been Jada Gamercast for this week. My name is Lang.
I'm Nathan.
Have a good one.
Cheers.